The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Radio Show. If you're watching this in any kind of video format, I apologize. We're having technical difficulties. It's supposed to only be a radio program. We're going to talk to John Zmirak. Albin, Chris, is there anything I need to say besides we're going to talk to John Zmirak? I mean, honestly, what else could people hope for?
Oh, yeah. Remind them that you're going to talk to John Zmirak, if you could do that.
You know what, folks? I should have mentioned it. I apologize. I'm going to talk to John Zmirak. We're going to talk to him for the whole rest of the hour. He's crazy. He's our kind of crazy. Actually, we speaking of crazy, I should mention a couple things up front before we go to Zmirak. Number one, this is true. Chris Himes just told us that YouTube, we post just about everything on YouTube, they flagged a video from right after the election where I interviewed Michelle Bachmann. And they didn't like it. And it's from way long ago. And they gave us another strike, which means we cannot post anything on YouTube for 2 weeks. Okay, that's a problem because we post everything on YouTube and we have 203,000 subscribers there. So here's what we need to do. We need to migrate to Rumble. We post just about everything on Rumble. If you have trouble finding Rumble, go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. At ericmetaxas.com, if you sign up for my emails, we're going to be sending out emails practically every day with the video link to Rumble. So it'll be right there in your inbox, your phone, whatever it is, and you can get it. Go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for that. YouTube is bad. We already knew that, but now they're proving it by going back into our archives to find naughty things that we've posted where we use bad words like poo-poo and wee-wee, and they're snagging it. They're like, no, that's inappropriate for our audience. So, okay, good news. We have... Did I mention we have John Zmirak? Yes, I did.
John Zmirak. Tell him about John Zmirak.
John Zmirak's going to be on this program. Boy, is he going to be on. Seriously, though, we're doing a fundraiser with Food for the Poor. If you've not participated yet, now is your chance. I say to people, we'll start at the top. Anybody who wants to give $10,000 to an amazing organization, we can all have dinner together. I offer that. My nights are getting like I have no time. It's weird, but we're doing that. If anybody wants to give $10,000 to Food for the Poor, what they do in places like Honduras, that's where we're focused right now. It's just extraordinary. They are a relief organization. They are extraordinary folks, and they can stretch our dollars so far that it's just amazing. It's why we work with them, because they are lean, mean, and they're there. They've had established relationships. Right now, every $37 we give is able to feed a kid for 6 months. Honduras has been utterly ravaged, most recently by a devastating tropical storm, followed by a hurricane. It flooded their crops. They're in bad shape, folks. But we in America have been really blessed. Anybody who can, we want you to go to our radio website. It's MetaxasTalk.com. MetaxasTalk.com. We'll give you the phone number in a minute. But Albin, anybody who participates in this gets signed up for our grand prize.
Grand prize. Yep.
Five grand prizes. And these are great. Signed copies of my new book, Fish Out of Water. Just everything, right? So we want to encourage you to go there. And Albin, you have a twin brother, don't you?
I do have a twin brother. Yes, I do. Anthony.
Will you tell us about him?
Well, he was on the show about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he's going to come back on next week, by the way. He and I are on.
That was your brother?
That was my twin brother.
He looks so much like you. It's just unbelievable. You guys must be identical.
Yes, we are. We are.
Oh,
yes.
Well, that explains it. Never mind. But seriously, your brother wrote a review of my book, Fish Out of Water, in the Washington Times.
Yep. And just came out, the review.
Yep. And I have to say, the thrill from my point of view, because writing is hard. I think I want people to know, like, it's hard work. It's not easy or fun. People seem to think it's fun. There's moments, but it's hard work. So when people say that the writing was particularly good or lyrical or moving or riveting or anything like that, and especially funny, it's the greatest gift to a writer. So the fact that your brother felt that and even outlined his favorite parts, like but don't miss this and this and this, I just thought, that's really nice. And even if you weren't your identical twin brother, I'd be very pleased.
Well, it's funny because he and I have a similar sense of humor, and I read the book. He didn't have to read it. I read it, but he read it. So found a lot of the same things funny.
Isn't that funny? That's wild, right? Like exactly the same stuff that you emailed me about, he found funny. I stand by this, that one of you is redundant.
I know. Well, you know what? The great part, though, is that he went that extra mile and actually wrote a review for Washington Times, which, of course, they published, and it appeared yesterday. I think it's out in the paper
today. I posted it. Anybody who signed up to my email, have I ever mentioned that I send out emails? You go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. But we post all this stuff. There's no other way for me to really share it. But it's just very gratifying. I just want to say that every time I read stuff like this, it means a lot to me that people are enjoying the book. So I did want to say that we do want to give you the phone number. I think I have it here, Alvin. I don't know if you sent that to me recently.
Oh, yeah. The phone number for Food for the Poor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE.
Oh, you know what? Let me play we have a video clip. The project's manager for Food for the Poor, Marcus Frisch, he'll talk a little bit and then we'll come back. Let's play that.
These families are in need. We've heard how people who have never found themselves in a position of begging are now asking for assistance. And if that is happening for the middle class in these countries, you can only imagine the impact that's happening for the poorest.
Okay, I'm going to say this also, folks. High rates of hunger in countries like Honduras lead to high rates of migration, right? If there's no access to food in their home country, what would you do if you were starving? I do not blame people for trying to get into this country, folks. I do not blame them. I blame our government if they don't deal with it adequately. There's all kinds of ways to deal with this. But one of the ways we can deal with it is to bless them where they are. So if you've got kids that don't have food, I mean, it's unimaginable to most of us. I'm glad it's unimaginable, but we need to imagine it briefly so that we can do the right thing. So I just want to say again, you can call the number 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Anything you give is a huge blessing. You'll be entered in a really amazing drawing. We want to bless a lot of people, and we're going to send out copies of Fish Out of Water, Albin's books, signed copies of my other books, T-shirts, mugs, all that stuff. So if you don't want to shop at Amazon, and who would, since they're participating in the banning culture, go to mystore.com. We're going to be getting more of our books and more stuff available at mystore.com. Okay, when we come back, folks, hold on to your hat or whatever, your hair, your whatever you're wearing, hold on to it, because John Zmirak, the John Zmirak, not some phony, is going to be on this program. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret
about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Folks, we're talking to our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom. Our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom, they're heroes. They're standing up for religious liberty. They're fighting at the Supreme Court. Without them, frankly, I don't know where we would be. Today, we have senior counsel Kate Anderson. Kate, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I want to talk to you about the Chike case at the Supreme Court, but I also want, if you could just mention the Stand for Freedom initiative, so my listeners are kind of keen on what that is.
Absolutely. Well, Alliance Defending Freedom has a Stand for Freedom campaign. We're watching the actions and the orders and some of the appointments coming out of the Biden administration to make sure that we are standing for freedom for each of our constitutional freedoms. People can find out more about that campaign and that initiative at adflegal.org/standforfreedom.
ADFLegal.org. I hope people listening will go to ADFLegal.org and check out what it says about Stand for Freedom, because what's going on with this administration is horrifying, and that's putting it nicely. So what happened to the Supreme Court yesterday, Kate Anderson?
Well, we had a wonderful win from the Supreme Court, an 8-1 decision for our client, Chike Uzubunim. The decision stands for the principle that government officials need to be held accountable when they violate someone's constitutional rights. That's something that we can see in all areas of life, but certainly with Chike, it was the college officials at his campus tried to take away his free speech rights and were successful in doing so. The case went through years of litigation and ultimately landed at the Supreme Court with a great win for free speech on college campuses, as well as for all Americans, because it's important. Whenever a government official violates our important freedoms, they need to be held accountable and the courts need to have a mechanism to do so. And now we saw the Supreme Court coming out strong on that issue.
So explain this to us who aren't familiar with it. I did read about this briefly yesterday, but I assume most of my listeners didn't. It went to the Supreme Court recently, but this happened a number of years ago. So where did this happen and what was the case? What was the issue?
So Chike Uzubunim was a college student at Georgia Gwinnett College in Georgia. He wanted to share his faith with his fellow students by publicly speaking with them on college campus, engaging people in conversation. Well, his college stopped him from doing this twice. First, administrators told him that he couldn't speak in just a public part of campus. He had to reserve a time and get advanced permission to use one of two tiny speech zones. Those are small areas of campus that make up, if you're standing on a football field, it would be like standing on a piece of notebook paper. And they were only open just 10% of the week. So he did what they asked, and he got time in one of those zones and went there to speak. But then two campus police officers stopped him, took his ID, and then told him that he couldn't speak anymore in that area because someone had complained. And so they effectively shut down his speech, where he just wanted to peacefully share his faith with his fellow students. And he wasn't able to speak at all on campus.
This is so outrageous. I'm just stunned at what you've just said. First of all, the idea that you can't share your faith, it's obscene. This is the United States of America. People share the most vile, destructive ideas. So here he is trying to share his faith, which presumably most Americans share in one way or another. And the college steps in and tells him, you can't do this. When you talk about the larger case that was at the Supreme Court yesterday, what was it when you said administration officials? Right, you mean college administration officials, is that it?
Yes, college officials stopped him from being able to share his faith. And then when they were challenged in court on the issue, first they said that the Constitution didn't protect his speech, which is just ridiculous. And then they decided to change their policies and tried to say no harm, no foul, because the policy had changed going forward. But Chike lost that moment and he lost the ability. He had since graduated. So he lost the ability to share his faith on campus and his rights were violated, and that mattered. And that's the issue that went to the court. Do government officials have to do something? Do they owe something to that victim when they violate constitutional rights? And the court 8-1 said that they do.
I mean, the 8-1 is the stunning part of it to me. It's one thing for a majority to uphold basic rights, but 8-1, what do you think can account for that? First of all, who was the dissenting vote?
Chief Justice Roberts was the dissent, and certainly he had his own view of the case, but it was a strong majority here from justices that are not always in agreement on things. And that was something we saw as a theme in this case. We had broad support across the ideological spectrum, from the ACLU to the Jewish Coalition for Religious Liberty. Groups weighed in and filed friend of the court briefs with the court, asking the court to weigh in on this important issue and to defend all of our constitutional rights. Because anytime a government official violates constitutional rights, there's serious harm to the victim, and that needs to be remedied.
Now, you say government official. So how was it a government official? It was not an official at the university?
It was a public university, so the college officials are government officials.
Okay, so this seems to be the issue here. In other words, if I have a business, or even if I'm I have a football team, I can say, it would seem to me like this is not a public space, right? You're getting paid, you're here, you can't do whatever you want. You can't wear a t-shirt that says Jesus loves you, whatever. You've got to wear the uniform. You've got to, you know, you're doing a job. This is not public space. When you're dealing with the university, it seems to me that ostensibly they could make that case, that they would say, this is not a public place. This is this place. People pay money to come here and to learn, and we set the rules, and those things don't apply to us. Is the issue that this was a public university, that this is a government-run institution?
Well, certainly our constitutional rights need to be respected by government officials. They're there to protect those rights, not to take them away. And so when public universities, that is something that is government run, it's public university, those college officials need to respect students' rights and freedoms. College campus should be a place where future leaders can explore ideas and debate things that are important to them. That's something that we should want on college campus. And all too often, we're seeing across the country, college officials use their authority to squelch speech and to hurt freedom on college campuses. And so this decision is another mechanism and a loud voice from the court that that's something that can't be done anymore.
I'm kind of stunned that the ACLU weighed in. Did they file an amicus brief? Was that their role here?
Yes, they filed an amicus brief or a friend of the court brief. And we did see broad support because this is an issue that reaches across the ideological spectrum. No one should have their constitutional rights violated by government officials and then not have any ability to remedy that violation. If we don't hold government officials accountable, it emboldens them to violate further rights, and it basically makes our rights worthless. And so that's why it's so important that we protect these freedoms.
Well, it's thrilling. Congratulations to the Alliance Defending Freedom, and congratulations to the citizens of the United States of America. This is a big deal. Let me ask you, will this have an effect on other universities? I mean, it seems to me that what's going on at universities around the country, whether they're state-run or private, it really is obviously against the basic idea of what a university is, much less, free speech. Does this send a message to other universities? How does that work?
Well, I would hope that it sends a message to all government officials. Our constitutional rights are priceless. They are valuable, and government officials should protect them. So I think that's something that is important on college campus in particular, because it's a place where we see some of these violations coming up, but really everywhere in our life. We've said early on that we thought that a win for Chike was going to be a win for everyone. And this court decision certainly is a win for everyone.
It's just fascinating to me because I think that what's happening now with this draconian suppression of basic rights, it forces us who are not legal scholars to think about these issues and think about, what are my rights? These are things most of us take for granted because we've always had them. We've never had to contest, whether I can speak about what I believe or something like that. And so in a situation like this, I assume that at a private university, it would be different, that the rules would be different, or no?
Well, there are differences between private and public universities and how constitutional rights play out. There are other laws that come into play in some cases with private universities, but certainly on a public campus, we should have every expectation that students are free to speak and to engage in these kinds of debates. Georgia Gwinnett College and others were actually warned about the policies that became in play here. They were told that these policies were unconstitutional, and yet they continued them forward, violated Chike's rights, and then only changed them after they were called on it in court, and then tried to just say that there was no remedy, nothing for Chike, because they wouldn't violate people's rights in the future. And while that's certainly an important part of this, they shouldn't be violating other people's rights, there was real serious harm done to Chike, and we're glad that the court recognized that.
Well, that is amazing. So does he get a payout somehow? How does that work?
So what was requested was nominal damages. It's a dollar, but it's an important dollar.
Okay,
and that's
okay.
What we've used in the court system to account for.
It sends a message. We're out of time. Kate Anderson, God bless you. We are grateful to the Alliance Defending Freedom. I want to tell people you can go to adflegal.org. Please go there and you can call them 855-547-5333, 855-547-5333. Folks, don't forget, John Zmirak is my guest. John, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'd rather talk a little bit about the Republicans. The situation in the White House is chaotic and unconstitutional.
Whatever you want to talk about, I just had to address that because I think most Americans see that Joe Biden's not running the country.
That's right.
That's just not acceptable. That's just despicable. It's sick. And I think it's so sick that at some point, one way or another, something's got to give. That we cannot abide.
Within the Republican Party, something's going to have to give, too. I wrote a piece at the Stream, Hail Hydra, Why the MAGA Movement Must Become a Multi-Headed Monster. And my point in it is we all need to be grateful to Donald Trump for disrupting the Republican Party and the swamp that had taken it over. And what he took on, what he saw, was basically the futility, the intentional futility that had taken over the conservative movement. I have here a recipe for GOP swamp gumbo. And this basically describes most of what Republicans in power, the establishment, have done since like 1996. One, decided a policy that benefits big business donors, big tech, military contractors. Two, dig up libertarian, patriotic, or religious reasons to promote that policy that's going to get your friends rich. Three, freeze out any conservatives who criticize it and, in fact, sabotage them within the conservative movement. Make sure they don't appear on Fox. They don't get their books published. Number four, if there are left-wing critics of your policy that's going to get your friends rich, call them socialists. If they're right-wing critics, call them xenophobes or racists. And five, make a deal with sensible Democrats where you all share the jackpot. That is what we have seen over and over again with the Mitch McConnells of our party. Donald Trump came in and disrupted that cozy, profitable arrangement. As a result, the party, elements of the party, turned on him viciously and cooperated with the Democrats and the left to try to destroy him. We need to keep disrupting that old Republican way of doing things that gave us the situation in Georgia, where you had the governor and the lieutenant governor stopping the legislature from investigating a clearly corrupt election. And one failure after another, where Republicans fold like a cheap tent at the crucial moment, whereas Democrats would fight to the end. Republicans always seem to collapse at just the convenient moment. Donald Trump disrupted all that. We need Donald Trump, but we need more than Donald Trump. What if Donald Trump suddenly decides he wants to drop out of politics? What if the New York prosecutor succeeds in railroading him into jail? What if the campaign problem, there's a lot of missing campaign money. That's a legitimate question, where that money went. What if we find out it went a bad place? Our movement cannot rest on one man. We can't have Samson, because what if he gets a haircut? And Trump has his Delilahs circling around him, people like Nikki Haley, people he had no reason to trust and trusted. I think if Mitt Romney went and met with Trump and flattered him for 20 minutes, Trump would trust him again, because Trump has some flaws. Every human being has flaws. Every hero has flaws. We can't have an entire movement resting on one guy. We can't decide who is a good Republican and who is a bad Republican based on who Trump invites to Mar-a-Lago, because he just invited Kevin McCarthy, who completely screwed him over in the election.
What do you make of this? I mean, it's one thing for a skunk like Mitch McConnell. Did I say Mitch McConnell was a skunk? Yes, I did. If it's one thing for a skunk like Mitch McConnell to say what he said, Kevin McCarthy, I keep trying to figure out, because to this day, I have no idea why there was such a hue and cry among these elites in the Capitol. They really act as though people came in with knives and tried to stab them or something.
It's just a pretext. It's just fake.
But the point is, Kevin McCarthy fed this narrative.
Right. So you know he's an enemy within. Okay. We know anyone who said that the January 6th riot was the worst thing that ever happened in America. Anybody who tried to impeach Trump over it, who's trying to destroy people's careers, get Ted Cruz disbarred, these people are enemies within our own ranks. If Donald Trump starts palling around with them again, we can't just say, oh, well, Trump's forgiven them. He is not our surrogate. He is not an infallible pope. We need a broader populist conservative movement that doesn't rest on Donald Trump or Jared Kushner or Ivanka Trump. They can be on our side, but they're not in charge. They didn't invent these ideas. I was a delegate for Pat Buchanan in 1996. These ideas, populist conservative ideas, they existed long before Donald Trump was even a Republican, much less a conservative. We need to find new leaders, more leaders, and we need to have the correct litmus test. The correct litmus test is not, is Donald Trump on speaking terms with him today? Has he been invited to Mar-a-Lago? We're not in some European court waiting to see who the king favors and disfavors. We're a republic. We're supposed to be based on principles. We're a government of laws, not of men. So what are those principles? And I want to suggest to people, they go back to the 2016 Republican National Convention, and they look at the platform that was developed for Donald Trump by his allies. It is a magnificent document. It is a beautiful summary of conservative principles, populist sentiment, religious tradition. Everything that the conservative movement really stands for is beautifully summed up in the 2016 GOP convention platform. I would love to see that platform become the litmus test.
Did you link to that in your article?
Yeah. Yes.
You did. Okay. Yes. So folks, go to stream.org. You have a homework assignment every time John is on. In fact, no, every day, go to stream.org, find John Zmirak's article. I post them always on Twitter, on Facebook, on Gab, now on Parler. Find it, print it out, leave it around for other people to bump into. We'll be right back with John Zmirak. Hey there. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, I've got a question. People need to go to stream.org, find your articles, print them out, share them. Before we talk about your other articles about the Pope and stuff, I have to ask you, I have a friend that I respect very much who said Mike Pence couldn't have done anything. The Constitution is very clear. It's a crazy idea that Trump floated and people grabbed, but there's nothing Pence could have done. What do you say?
I say read the article at American Greatness by John Yoo, who is a legal scholar, constitutional scholar. He laid out that the vice president is the last guarantor of electoral integrity. He is, if you got two competing sets of ballots from a state, it would be his job to say, this is disputed, you have to resolve this. There would be no reason to have the vice president counting the ballots. You could have the doorman or the secretary or a clerical employee do it. Clearly, they picked the second most powerful office, executive office in the land to have that responsibility for a reason. Our founders didn't do things randomly. They very carefully worked out the Constitution, and they purposely chose the number two executive official in the country to count the ballots. It's not a clerical duty. It was a duty to discern and to judge, because our founders foresaw things like the 2020 election. They knew about how republics got corrupted. They had studied the history of Rome, and they saw how the Senate was corrupted. So I think your friend is underestimating the American founders and giving in to a kind of futility, but a kind of learned helplessness. I mean, it's staggering to me that the U.S. Supreme Court failed and refused to act on these obvious violations of the Constitution. Even more ominous, of course, is H.R. 1. The Democrats are trying to codify in federal law all of the abuses that took place in the 2020 election. They're trying to make them permanent so that they will win every election from now on. It is the one-party state, Stacey Abrams Empowerment Act of 2021. It really is the end of the republic. If H.R. 1 passes, and the Democrats, all but one of them voted for it, if we can't stop it in the Senate, if they get rid of the filibuster, you and I can just pack up our tents, never talk about politics again, because we will live in Venezuela, where the elections are all rigged indefinitely. And there's no U.S. to overthrow the government. There's no American army coming to liberate America. If America lets its elites steal all the elections going forward, and criminalizes any question of those results, it's over. You and I, we can embrace the Benedict option. Hey, yes, we finally are helpless. Let's just go in the bunker. We don't have to do anything. We can't do anything, so we don't have to. What a great burden off our backs. We're serfs under the czar.
You've got blood on your hands, John Zmirak. Hey, folks.
Not nearly enough.
Before we forget, I want to remind people, they didn't think I would bring this up in the middle of a segment. Folks, you need to go to mypillow.com or mystore.com and use the code Eric. Please tell your friends. All my books are available at mystore.com. Not all, but most. John, let's talk about the Pope, if we must.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing you don't mention in polite company usually. This Pope. This Pope has gone to Iraq, and he actually apologized for his previous silence on the subject of what was happening to the Christians in Iraq. He didn't say very much about what ISIS was doing while thousands of Christians and hundreds of thousands of others were being viciously persecuted in places like the city of Mosul. But he went there, and he actually had the nerve to repeat his stale and vapid gun control talking points. Pope Francis went to Iraq, and one of his tweets was the following. It is up to us, today's humanity, especially believers, to turn instruments of hatred into instruments of peace, to appeal firmly to the leaders of nations to make the increasing proliferation of arms give way to the distribution of food for all. Doesn't that sound nice?
That is such a but that's like a cartoon cliche. Like that's the Simpsons, you know, the beauty pageant. They ask a question of I want world peace and what?
I personally believe that all U.S. Americans should be stripped of their guns. Now, here's on a previous occasion when he visited the city of Turin, Pope Francis, during the same speech, said. Anyone who makes weapons of any kind cannot call himself a Christian and is a hypocrite for claiming to be a Christian if he makes weapons. And in the same speech talked about the Holocaust and said what a scandal it was that the Allies, the Americans and the British, didn't bomb the tracks that led to the concentration camps.
Bomb? Did he say bomb?
Bomb, exactly.
A man of faith.
But wait, if it's unchristian to use weapons, have weapons, or make weapons, what were they supposed to drop on the they wouldn't have military planes and they wouldn't have bombs. Were they supposed to use weather balloons to drop pacifist tracks to block the tracks leading to the death camps? In the same speech, if only I had been there to serve my role as heckler, I would have grabbed the mic and said, Holy Father, what were they going to drop? You hadn't written all your encyclicals yet. What could we use to block the tracks? This, though, is particularly hideous when we talk about Iraq, because the city of Mosul was attacked by ISIS, I believe, in 2014. 1,500 terrorists fought against 60,000 government soldiers, and the terrorists won because they were more motivated. The people of the city of Mosul, 2,500,000 people, were raped, beaten, killed. The women were sold as sex slaves in a computerized database. 2.5 million people terrorized by 1,500 terrorists. Why? Because the Iraqi government had disarmed the people of Iraq. They had imposed gun control. And gun control does one thing. It allows the government or the criminals or the terrorists, who are sometimes indistinguishable, to terrorize the population. There's a powerful book called Death by Government by R.J. Rummel. He documents 170 million civilians were murdered in the 20th century by their governments. What they had in common? They'd been disarmed by their government. So when the Democrats and the bishops say, we must get rid of our guns and replace them with tuna sandwiches, they are making you as helpless as the people of Mosul were in the face of ISIS.
It's stunning. It's stunning. Folks, don't forget, go to MetaxasTalk.com. We need your help. Food for the poor, $37, whatever you can do. We'll be back with John Zmirak in hour two.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Help! I wanted to start out on a positive note. We need your help. We need you to go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com. Can you do that? MetaxasTalk.com, M-E-T-A-X-A-S, MetaxasTalk.com. There's a banner, Food for the Poor. Oh, you like to listen to John Zmirak, right? We've had him up till now, and we'll have him again as soon as I'm done talking in this segment with Alvin. But in the meantime, we've just got to remind you, Food for the Poor, we're doing a very, very important fundraise with them. There are folks in Honduras going through hell right now. They can't feed their kids. We can do something about it. You can help us. Go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on the banner. Every $37 feeds a kid for 6 months, which is stunning that Food for the Poor is able to do that. Alvin, we are also offering everybody who donates anything will get put in the hopper for one of our 5 grand prizes. These right. are pretty special, folks. Signed books, my new signed book, my old signed books, Alvin's books, everything, T-shirts, hats, da, da, da. 5 of those are going out. But we haven't mentioned this. Anybody who gives $100 or more, you will get signed up for Metaxas Super. That is, you get audio of this program with no commercials. Yada, yada, yada. You do the math, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get some other surprises at Metaxas Super as well. And don't forget, anybody that signs up any amount, anybody that donates any amount, you get the big box of prizes, includes hamster homes, includes fish out of water, includes a lot of Eric signed books and hats and T-shirts and mugs and things like that.
Right. So and I sign them very legibly.
You do.
Very legibly. I don't type legibly, but I write legibly. So Alvin, this is kind of exciting. Also, I want to say, you know, when I said help, it's not just help Food for the Poor. We need your help because we're being canceled. YouTube has shut us down for another 2 weeks. So people go to YouTube and there's nothing there. It's kind of a bummer. So we're asking you, please sign up for my newsletter. So we'll send out all our videos that way instead of you're going to YouTube. But, the newsletter is at ericmetaxas.com. Lots of folks aren't signed up for that. And trust me, folks, you're missing some really cool stuff. Ericmetaxas.com. I should also mention another way to help us is if you go either to mystore.com or mypillow.com, use the code Eric. Tell your friends. I don't know what code you're using if you buy sheets or if you buy my books at mystore.com. You want to use the code Eric. But Alvin, we really forgot to mention the dog beds.
Oh, yeah. Dog bed. Oh, yeah. And John Zmirak swears by it as well.
If you think you're a dog or perhaps you have a dog around the house, you want a dog bed. They come in all kinds of sizes, colors, only one shape. It's the dog bed shape. It's the official dog bed shape. It's legally required.
But shaped the point like a is dog.
The dog beds or the pet beds or whatever they call them, the pet pillows, the dog, I don't know what they are, but they're fantastic. MyPillow.com has them. They've got all kinds of stuff there, which is why I thought I should mention the pet pillows because a lot of people forget, you know, you're looking for pet pillow. Where would you go? MyPillow.com. But Mike Lindell has been horribly canceled. And I feel I say this over and over and I will continue saying it. Anybody who is canceled, I immediately think, how can I support them? It's just something, it's the least we can do during these crazy times. As I said, YouTube has canceled us for 2 weeks and we're not able to post anything. We lose advertising revenue because that's one of the ways that we're able to make this show work and pay our engineers and producers. So if you go to mypillow.com or mystore.com, use the code Eric, and obviously you're supporting Mike Lindell. And that's it. We're going to be back with John Zmirak.